Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father, we praise you. Through your word and Holy Spirit, you created all things. You reveal your salvation in all the world by sending to us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may always serve and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was the evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with a seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome, and let them be lights for the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly upon the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds in the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. To every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food," and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Au demeurant, frères, soyez dans la joie. Travaillez à votre perfectionnement. Encouragez-vous. Soyez bien d'accord. Vivez en paix. Et le Dieu d'amour et de paix sera avec vous. Saluez-vous mutuellement par un saint baiser. Tous les saints vous saluent. La grâce du Seigneur Jésus-Christ, l'amour de Dieu et la communion du Saint-Esprit soient avec vous tous. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of Christ. May these words give praise to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a word later on in the service that you will see when we come to it, doxology. And you may know that word already, or it may be new to you. It means praise. And that is the title for a prayer or some lines of praise with which we end our gathering. And we have peculiar customs that have developed around this prayer called the doxology. You'll see us in action. If you're new to us, this may seem strange, where we look around and we make some eye contact with people. For those of you who have done this week after week, it feels comfortable, it feels natural. But if you're new to it, you may be looking at us and wondering, what's that about? The prayer itself comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and when that reading comes up, as it does in the three-year lectionary, it's almost like what in the movies they call an Easter egg, where you say, oh, I know that. And it is not peculiar to St. John's to have these customs about how we say that prayer together. But we haven't had this custom for very long. We updated our liturgy to modern language, formally in a book called The Book of Alternative Services in 1985, although there were earlier versions of it. And we had, prior to that, a different ending prayer that we also called the doxology. And it comes from our second reading that you just heard. I'm going to read what you heard, just so it's fresh in your mind. La grâce du Seigneur Jésus-Christ, l'amour de Dieu et la communion du Saint-Esprit soit avec vous tous. But we would say it at the end of the meetings, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. We did this in meetings. Often we would hold hands, and we would make eye contact with this earlier version of a doxology. And we got that from the old Anglican services of morning prayer and evening prayer, where it is the ending prayer. It comes from this 2 Corinthians passage, but it was the end of those earlier services. And for a long time, we continued to end meetings using that version. But then newer people didn't know it because we didn't do those morning and evening prayer services anymore. And they would look at us like, what is this, some kind of a cult where you say things we don't know and you look at each other? What is this? So at meetings, we now end the meeting with the doxology, the one that you will see in the bulletin. But we took the eye contact from the earlier one and we added it on to the meetings that we have. And then it was just a natural thing that in church, well, if we have made eye contact during the meeting, well, maybe we should do that here too. So you see how these things evolve. And in a way, it's funny about traditions, how quickly they can develop. I have a personal story about how quickly traditions develop. And when my mother ceased to be able to make the Christmas dinner, we all decided we would take parts. And I was assigned the dessert and I made pie. And I like making pie. So I would come with my pie, and by the time 4 years had passed, I didn't even ask, I just made pie. And then last year, after my mother's death, we had our Christmas dinner, and my sister said, you're not bringing pie, we're going to do something else. So in the space of 5 years, we went to having a tradition to not having one anymore. And that's the kind of thing that happens in church too, where you do things something twice or three times, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just becomes what you do here. So I'd like to tell you a bit about where this comes from, the one that we read, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It comes from the Apostle Paul, and he founded church communities around the Mediterranean basin, and then he wrote letters to them. And these letters included at the end of them a doxology, some words of praise. And depending on the letter, that, like, they're all different, the doxologies are all different. And when the church community would read that letter, they would read the whole thing aloud to the community, it would end with this doxology. So in a way, our ending of meetings to this day follows a pattern that's ancient. Paul's letters had a particular structure, really an innovation. He would start his letter with a prayer that was kind of an executive summary of all the things he was going to talk about. Then he would go through the things that were in the executive summary, theme by theme. Then he'd thank specific people, and then he'd end with this doxology. And the one in the letter, the second letter to the Corinthians, became the most popular one. It's the one we've memorized over the years. And it's the one that references the Trinity. Except in Paul's time, it wasn't the Trinity yet. The idea of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was not formalized for the whole church until all the delegates went to the Council of Nicaea in 325. So 300 years for which there was not a formal sense of how to speak of God as the Trinity. But the hints were already in the New Testament texts. The best known one was the one you heard in the Gospel. Go forth to all nations and baptize in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And depending on the scholar, they will say that this comes from somewhere between the year 70 and the year 85. But the 2 Corinthians one, the scholars say this is from the year 55. So 25 years from the resurrection of Jesus, 25 years. If I count back in my life 25 years ago, what do I remember and what have I forgotten? There are many things that are quite vivid. So early on, the communities were already speaking of God by saying Father and Son and Holy Spirit all together in one sentence. They may not have developed how it all worked together, but for them, it belonged together. Now, this reading, of course, is timed for today to be Trinity Sunday. And so I will say again that the early church did not have a full understanding about how the Trinity might work, but it's a fitting way for us to speak of how we believe in God. In my experience of being the interfaith representative for the bishop, I've had any number of conversations with Jews and Muslims about, well, do you have three gods or one? And of course, we say we have one, but it's complicated, right? There are other Christian adjacent groups that have walked away from the idea of the Trinity, so Unitarians and Mormons. They may speak of themselves as Christian, but they don't hold on to the Trinity in the way our tradition does. And if you have been to Sunday school, you will have heard all kinds of analogies as we try to explain it. So there's the three-leaf clover, there's water is in the form of ice and liquid and steam, and they're all efforts to try and say, how do we describe God? And the reality is, God is beyond how our minds can work, beyond how we have language to describe. And so we try to make these shortcuts to make God understandable, but we find ourselves facing this immensity of that, yes, we might be created in God's image, but God is vast. And a wonder and a mystery. We try anyway, and Paul's second letter to the Corinthians gives us the three phrases together. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I kind of think of that as the cross, Jesus' free gift of his love at the time of his death. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God, well, you might go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, or you might go to that masterful work of poetry, Genesis chapter 1, laying out in beauty the immensity of God creating to be in relationship with what God has created. Now, the Holy Spirit one is a little more complicated. You know, the old meeting phrase was the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the text translates it, if you look at the English translation, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And it was a funny thing at the time because the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, well, there are people that would say fellowship is a verb. Let's go and fellowship together. I don't know if you've ever been in a church where people have said that. And in our sense of speaking about gender, we kind of step back from, for he's a jolly good fellow, to speak of the Holy Spirit. So communion is a different kind of word. Fellowship, when I think of it, it might be how we mingle together when we're having our coffee after the service. Communion is like, maybe you've used this word about communing with nature, where you go for a walk in the beauty of God's creation, and you see beauty, and you're deeply connected to how you feel about this beauty. That's communing. So the communion of the Holy Spirit is how we deeply feel connected to God. Now, I said we don't do that older version of the doxology anymore, but maybe you'll notice we have it as the greeting at the beginning of the service, starting this Sunday and going right through to next Easter, where we start by saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our text, our whole Bible, does not exhaust who God is. God is greater than our words. God is greater than our understanding. And we try to have words today to express our praise, which is what the word doxology means, expressing our praise. We try in this language of the Trinity to describe God, but our purpose today is to praise. Amen.
Thank you.
God, you are one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And you created us in your image to be many people, yet one in you. Help us to heed this call to community, to care for our neighbor as we do for ourselves. Show us how we, being many, may be one body, your body, as we seek to do your will in this world. This we pray to you today, using the response, Hear us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, you bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. This is something you have done, are doing, and will do once and for all. Help us to see the world through the truth of your kingdom. Let us not be tempted by the trappings of earthly power and authority. Let us not give more honor and respect to those the world honors and respects. Help us to see the infinite value in every human person created in your image and recognize each one as our sibling. Help us, your church, to always identify with the least of these, the marginalized and the outcast, rather than the powerful and prestigious. Help us to align ourselves with the needs of these rather than those of the well-to-do, even when we find ourselves in the latter category. Show us how to live in your kingdom now, even as we pray for it to fully come. Father, we lift up to you particularly the people of Belong Ottawa and The Well, the Multi-Faith Housing Initiative, the Refugee Assistance Group, and Alongside Hope, both those who serve in these groups and those who are served by them. We ask that you sustain them with your spirit, comfort them in their pain, and fill them with your presence. This we pray to you, Father, saying, Hear us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we lift up to you those who have been given authority in this world. For Charles, our King, for Mark, our Prime Minister, for Doug and Christine, our Premiers, for Mark and Maud, our Mayors, and for all those who represent us in public office. Fill them, Holy Spirit, and give them eyes to see your people as you do. Fill their hearts with wisdom and compassion that they may lead with those same qualities. And as they spend time looking at big picture problems and solutions, may they not lose sight of the individuals affected by their decisions. This we ask of you, Spirit, praying. Hear us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we lift up to you also those chosen to lead in our Anglican community. For Shane, our primate, Catherine, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, for Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Nick, Kimberly, Monica, Barb, Chris, Pat, and all who minister at St. John's. Fill them with your spirit that they may serve out of what you have given them. We ask that you bless them with peace, compassion, wisdom, discernment, and love as they lead our community in following you. This we ask of you, Lord Jesus, as we say, Hear us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for all those who have passed on and are at rest with you. Today, we remember especially Gabe Richardson, who passed away recently, and Robin Durrell, in whose most loving memory the flowers are given by Barbara Durrell. Father, we ask that you be with all who mourn, comforting them in the knowledge that they will one day be reunited with their loved ones. This we ask of you, Father, as we pray. Hear us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, while we look forward to a world without suffering, we must also grapple with our present reality, which often involves pain. Therefore, we lift up to you, Lord Jesus, all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we mention now. Lord, we ask that you be with them in their pain, that they would know that they're not alone. We pray for healing and that you show us how to be your hands and heart to those you love. This we ask of you, Lord Jesus, saying, Hear us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, you are one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And you created us in your image to be many people, yet one in you. Help us to live as you have called us to live, united to each other and united to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Jesus taught us, we pray.
To God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Come in peace.
To love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.